Thanks for tuning in to the New Life Apostolic Church YouTube channel and website at nla.church. Once again, that's nla.church. We're excited to hear God's word at our Sunday worship service and pray you're blessed by what you hear. And be sure to come back and join us for an in-person experience with great worship, singing, and of course, a message from God's word. Let's go there now and hear today's message.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everybody. This morning I was feeling like King Nebuchadnezzar after the seasons that he went through with the heart of a beast. And after the Lord brought him out of it, he says, "This is what the great God has done in my life. I have to say, I gotta tell it. And every little bit of progress to me is God's hand moving in my life. And I thank the Lord for that. And I had made up my mind that I was going to preach from the stage the last time. And so I had to practice going up the other room because that's where I was teaching yesterday. And I said, oh, if I can make it up there, I can make it here. And thank the Lord. Amen. So the progress this morning is for the first time in about 8 months, I was able to put my own shoes on. To you might not mean a lot, but when you have to wait for them to put your shoes on, it's humbling. Thank God I have a wife that doesn't throw it in my face, that she gladly does it. But to me, it was progress. Progress was two Thursdays ago when I was able to put both shoes on. Well, they put them on for me, but I was able to wear shoes. And so I'm just a thankful man. I'm telling you, I'm very thankful for what God has done. And today I want to preach to you on the subject, the key to improving relationships. Amen. This works in every relationship. What I'll be preaching to you today, I'll be reading to you from the book of Matthew, chapter 20 and verse 28. And it should show right there. The Bible says, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. One more time. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, or he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, the Living Bible says it this way. Your attitude must be like my own. For I, the Messiah, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. Now, for the last 8 months, it's been the other way around for me. It's mainly being served by many people. And one of my goals is to get back to being server number one. Amen. That's my goal. And since I wasn't going to shy away from this scripture and this message, Because I believe this is what God wants for New Life today. He says, so let's pray and let's ask God that he may be able to anoint me and use me for his glory this morning. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this great privilege to preach your word. Thank you for your presence in the house. And we're asking that you would move mightily upon this congregation and that you may use me to preach your word. Give me the strength. Give me the clarity of mind. Give me your anointing, Jesus. I need it today. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. You may be seated. There is no greater principle in the Bible or a greater example of this principle in the Bible than that of Jesus. He did not come into the world to be served, but to serve. And so what Jesus is teaching us this morning is your goal, my goal, should be serving, not ruling. Serving. Those most highly esteemed will be those who serve. Those who are humble. Amen. Not the type of humility that you have to boast about. I remember a minister telling me one time that he had a pastor that was kind of rough. And he told him, he called him by name, and he says, you're so humble, you're proud of it. Well, that's not the type of humility that I'm talking about. About 3 years ago, I was teaching the academy about humility, and I made a statement that I don't think they'll ever forget. I told them, humility is like underwear. Everyone should wear it, but nobody should see it. Amen. Humility. So the Lord is saying, if your master served, how much more ought you to serve? So Christ offers his own life as an example, as a pattern of profound humility. If you were to define humility today for this message, I would say that humility is the noble decision to renounce one's status and use one's influence for the good of others ahead of oneself. The noble decision to renounce your own status and to use your influence for the good of others ahead of yourself. So when the Bible says that Jesus came to serve, the very first place that we see this is his incarnation, or God becoming flesh. Because what he did was he assumed the lowliest level of life. Amen. Remember that the next time that you think that you're something. That the Lord said, and what he did is that he humbled himself to the utmost, and he became like you and I. He took upon himself the form of a servant and was always active in ministry. Throughout his entire ministry, you see him doing good, healing the sick, cleansing lepers. I mean, the only thing that he could do to get some rest was to get on a boat and tell his disciples, let's go across the lake so I can take a nap. He was always looking out for somebody else, always accessible, sympathetic, merciful. I like the King James Version of the Bible. This year, my one-year Bible, I'm reading it in the English Standard Version. And they always translate mercy as steadfast love. I mean, that's good, but I kind of like the word mercy. How many of you want mercy? Yeah. Sometimes we don't want steadfast love because Jesus has a way of using that tough love, the kind that James Dobson wrote about, tough love. And sometimes we don't want tough love. We want mercy. Never ask the Lord to do you justice. Never ask him be fair. Ask him for mercy. At least that's what I do. Think about it this way. Just think that if you were the one that invented the automobile, and instead of the automobile carrying you around, you're always pushing the automobile. He says, that does not compute. Well, that's exactly what Jesus did. He made us, and he's always pushing us. He's always pulling us. He's always loving us, always serving us. So he said, let me be an example to you. This is the best way for you to improve your relationships. Be the servant. Somebody always has to take the high road for conflict to dissolve. Amen. I think I've said it before that the only time that I argue is when I know I'm right. But sooner or later, even if you know you're right, this is not about being right. This is about having good relationships. Amen. So Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The NIV says this, your attitude, everybody say your attitude, should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Keep this mind. Always think about it this way. The way Jesus looked at life. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he humbled himself and made himself of no reputation. Amen. It says, so what is his attitude? His attitude is one of humility. Humility. You want conflict to quit? To stop, humble yourself. Paul presents Jesus in Philippians chapter number 2 as the supreme example. He urges humility on the Philippians and upon us as the only way to secure unity. Unity is what will bring revival to a home, to a church. Oh, yeah. It'll bring revival to any relationship. According to Psalms 133, unity promotes revival. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. To live in harmony. to get along. Hallelujah. The best ability, one rich man said, that had a great company, is to have ability. But the best ability is the ability to get along. How many of you know people that always have to be in drama? Don't look at anybody. They have to live in drama. You know them, I know them. Amen. And if there's none, they'll create it. Create drama because that's where they feel comfortable. But God says, this is what brings the attention of heaven is not drama, it's harmony. Harmony before New Life had those that knew how to harmonize. They all sang in the same. No, either they were all soprano, all alto, all tenor, or all left out. And it's okay. Every now and then the praise team will all do with the same voice. And then they'll bring in the harmony. And when the harmony comes in, it kind of makes everything so much sweeter. Yeah. Before I knew any better, it wasn't alto, soprano, tenor, bass. It was primera, segunda, y tercera. First, second, and third. How many are going to do first? Who's going to do second? Who's going to do... That's the way we used to say it. I'm sorry, everybody, but I was born in Mexico, and I brought a lot of the Mexican stuff with me. Oh, I want to tell whoever made those tacos yesterday, they were dynamite. And our speaker in our Spanish part of the seminar, he's from Mexico, and he told me when he was eating, this is the only time that I've tasted, that the tacos that I eat in America taste like the ones from Mexico. So I was in Guatemala a few years back, and I says, you know what? I would like to get some Mexican food. Do you have Mexican food in Guatemala? He says, sure we do. He says, what's the name of the restaurant? Taco Bell. I said, no, thank you. That's not Mexican. So I brought a lot of stuff with me. We harmonize differently in Mexico, especially if you sing my type of music, which is called norteño, ranchera. So we harmonize different, but it's harmony. It's beautiful. And that's what the Bible is saying. That's what calls God's attention. When you can have a whole bunch of personalities in one place and they get along. It is like the precious ointment, like the oil, like the anointing oil upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. Did you notice that? It wasn't a little dab, do you? Oh, I'm sorry, you're not that old. But there used to be a commercial for a hair cream called Brill Cream. And all they said was, a little dab do you. In other words, you didn't have to get a whole bunch and slick it back. Just a little dab do you. That's not the type of anointing that they were talking about. It was about a gallon and a half. that they would pour on top of the king or on top of the priest, and it start running down the neck. Yeah, you can do like that. When I think about it, down his beard, and it kept on going down to his vest, down the garments, until it starts to drip, drip, drip. He says, that's the type of revival, he says, that I want for New Life. The kind that when you're in church, when you're in small group, when you're in any group activity or prayer, you leave dripping with the oil so that you smell good. Hallelujah. There's a little thing that, little statement that I make. It says, I'm more nauseated than in an elevator full of women with different perfume. Amen. Sorry, ladies. But you get a whole bunch of you with all your different perfume. It's enough to make me want to get off on the second floor. I said, I'll take the next one. Thank you. But it's the same thing with guys. Praise the Lord, guys. So I say, if you don't want to wear none of that, or excuse me, any of that, that's okay. Just make sure you do shower. But see, this stuff was, the anointing oil was aromatic. It smelled good. He says, and you were dripping with that. When you leave whatever gathering you're in, you ought to be dripping with the anointing of God. When you walk out the front door, he says, make sure you take the anointing with you. Because I guarantee you on the other side, there's a devil that has demons that want to take it away from you. Amen. You know, you can head it off at the pass, everybody. If you're the type that likes to go eat afterwards somewhere, he says, make up your minds before you come to church where you're going to go eat. Don't argue on where you're going to eat after you leave church. How many of you in your home, somebody always says, it doesn't matter wherever you want to. And then you say, well, then let's go have Chinese. I don't like Chinese. Oh, come on now. Come on. Let's get real here. He says, let's do Mexican today. He says, you have Mexican every day of the week. He says, so there's such little things that can take the unity away. And so the Bible says, it says, let's improve this. We can make relationships better. How many believe that? So then it says, as the dew of Hermon, and I've been to Mount Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord, where? He says, in the unity. There is where he commands. Somebody say commands. It's almost like God can't help it. He sees great relationships in the house of God. He sees it in the home. He sees it in the small group. He says, man, you might not even be asking for it, but here it comes. He commands, he pronounces, he promises eternal life and blessing. So what's he making an allusion here to? Now, there's a lot of people. You and I, if you had more than one kid, you found out quickly which one was the bossy one. Amen. And then you see it in your grandkids too. And there's always one that will say, "You're not the boss of me." What is that implying? He says, "You're not in charge." And when somebody's commanding, it's usually because they have a right. Don't ever get in a shouting match with my wife. Not if you're a grandchild. Because if you tell her, "You're not the boss of me," she'll put her hands on her hips. "I'm the boss of you. I'm the boss of your dad. I'm the boss of your mom." I'm the one that likes to give out all the bribes. But what's it talking about? When he commands, it means it's almost like a general talking, like an emperor. Like Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, "Where the word of the king," or "where the word of a king is, there is power." He says, he commands. I don't know about you. I would like for God to do a lot more commanding, especially if he's commanding blessings my way. How about you? Anybody have a need of a blessing? Hey, if you got too many, send them my way. Recently, our National Christian Education Director was struck down by West Nile virus, and it developed into meningitis. And he recently was released from the hospital. I'll tell you what, when you're going through it, you want people to command blessings your way. It's amazing how many people have been praying for me. I'm telling you. And when they see me walking, they get just as happy as you, God, man, because I was walking. So the centurion, the Roman centurion that came to Jesus asking him to heal his servant, he tells Jesus, "I say to one soldier, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. He says, and to a third, do this, and he does it." He says, all you got to do is command. Say the word. Say the word. And when I'm praying blessings over your lives, I tell God, just say the word, Lord. I command a blessing upon them in Jesus' name. You and I need to start praying the right way. Yes, we can ask him. But there comes a time that you say, "I command a blessing come your way in Jesus' name." So when you're in right relationship with Jesus and in right relationship with the brethren, all of a sudden in a service, in a small group setting, at the job, at a corner of G and Olive, right, Brother Victor Martinez? In a prayer meeting, the command will come. It'll say something like, go call a backslider home. Now, if you get that, even if you don't hear an audible, okay? An audible voice. But if you get a strong sensation, one thing you can be sure, that's not the devil. If he's telling you, call that person that you haven't seen for a while. Tell him how much you love them. Tell him how much you miss them. That's the Holy Ghost commanding you. But guess what? Husbands. I almost said something. I'm glad I didn't say it. I was telling the class that I was teaching that sometimes I say some words that I don't know what I said until my kids tell me, don't say that anymore, Dad. It doesn't mean that anymore. I'm glad that the word cool never changed. Cool never went out of style. Can you imagine the first time I heard one of my kids or one of the young people say, oh, that's sick. What did you say? I says, you guys are too far ahead of me. He says, so I almost said one of those. So I had to back up here. He says, when God begins to command, and you say, bless that person. It's not you. See, I got this crazy feeling. That's no such thing. Because Paul said, in me, there's nothing good that dwells. I tend to be a little selfish. But there is a God inside of me. And a God inside of you. And husbands, sometimes we don't hear it. Because we're in conflict with the spouse. You know what I recommend? Find your little place to pray. All by your lonesome. And see if the Holy Ghost don't tell you. He says, you're wrong. Yeah, Lord, but don't tell her. I'm telling you real life scenarios. Whenever I've been abrupt, it says, the Holy Ghost checks you right away. But you have to get back in relationship with God first. And I tell you, never last beyond the morning prayer. Because God has a way of talking to you, especially when you get to that part. Forgive me as I forgive those that trespass against me. Lord, who has? He says, you already know. Psalm 33:8-9 says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke. He gave a command. And it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. So God wants to give you divine increase before the year's out. It's on this side. That side is in Spanish. Divine increase. He wants to increase your spiritual life. He wants to increase everything, prosper you in everything. But it's based upon how your soul is prospering. Why? You can't handle a financial blessing if your soul is not right. It'll mess you up. No, man. Let me give you a little scenario. You might feel a little misunderstood, a little rejected, or just not valued by your spouse. Mark my words, the devil is going to send somebody to lift you up to high heaven. Looking good today. He says, man, that's all right. And you know what begins to happen in your brain? I wish my wife would notice. Getting kind of quiet today. I'm talking about how to improve relationships. Hey, everybody. I'm going to tell you like T.F. Tenney used to say, compliments are like good soap. Good soap is 70% lie. It's a play on words, okay? Amen. He says, so what am I saying here? He says, when you're in right relationship with God, he says, your relationships will improve. So what does it mean when you think like, let this mind be in you? It signifies sympathetic interest and concern, reflecting the action of the heart as well as the head. In this context, the verb is best rendered have the attitude. I mentioned to you before that Bishop Benjamin Quiroz, who is now with the Lord, told me one time that the longest journey is only 18 inches in distance. It's from the head to the heart. I was thinking of increasing my prayer life. It's got to get down to the heart, to the emotions. When you start feeling it deeply before it ever happens. James said it this way, don't just tell somebody, be filled, be clothed. Something. The Bible teaches a lot about the inclination of the heart. You know, one of the things that I realized is that it wasn't just my foot that needed help after I started healing. There was parts of me that wouldn't bend. When I tied my shoe this morning, it hurt. And now, first time I went for it, I came back up. And my thought was, I'm going to have to humble myself and call my wife. Not because she makes me feel humbled or humbles me or humiliates me. It's me. And that says, no way, Jose. I can say that. My name is Jose. And I went and I would stretch a little farther until I finally got there, Brother Christian. And I remembered the ones that I have to do now. But standing up. But the last time I wasn't ready for that and I broke the mirror that was in there. If you saw a broken mirror, it was me a few months back because I wasn't ready. I didn't have my balance, but I had to stretch and it had to hurt a little bit. We're talking about improving relationships. Sometimes it's going to hurt. I heard somebody say recently, when he had to eat humble pie, and he had to accept help. He says, does it still hurt? He says, only in the inside. And the outside, it didn't hurt anymore. But the inside, it was hurting. He's talking about his pride. When you have a spirit of humility, you start to deny yourself. And you start looking for the interest, the welfare of somebody else. You want to try something, just an exercise? Set it in your heart in the morning when you're praying. You know, like when we're going to do a friend day and we start writing down the names of the people we're going to invite. It says, get your phone out. Start writing names of people that you're going to reach out and you're going to bless them. You're going to go to them. You're going to call them. You're going to text them. You're going to IM them. Is that the way it is? IM? Okay. You know, I hope it didn't change. Because they don't say tweets anymore, huh? I used to say twit. Well, it makes sense. It's Twitter. Don't laugh at me. Some of you did the same thing. He says, you didn't get my twit. He says, but what am I saying? You have to intentionally start your day in prayer. You're going to receive visuals of somebody you need to call. And I'm not just saying to ask for forgiveness. I'm saying just to call them. So let me read to you Philippians 2. And I'm going to read it to you in the NIV. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit. You see how Paul starts out? He says, if you get a little bit of God, amen. He says, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look out, look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. So, the key, this is the main key to improving relationships. You must learn to humble yourself and serve others. Amen. Hey, everybody. Don't say that you don't love yourself. I love myself. Yeah. The Bible says we do. He says, love others as you love yourself. Right? Right. It says, those of us that got a little bit of hair left, we still try and wet it back, spray it down so that if we're in the, if we're out there and the, in the, and it, there's wind, it's windy, we don't have radar sticking up. The ladies go by the mirror and do this. Why did they put mirrors on visors, everybody? Because they knew sooner or later a lady was going to dry. And before they get off, they look at themselves and then they, oh, come on now. I'm just being real. When you are looking for names on a list, You're not looking for everybody else. You're looking for yours. My son and my daughter-in-law have birthdays in the same month, 8 days apart. So this year they went to New York. And they were out at Ellis Island. And they got the names of those that came into the U.S. through Ellis Island. And he sent a picture and he's pointing out, do you know that some of my relatives came across through Ellis Island? There it is. He was looking for Aguilar. He wasn't looking for Wolfram, Taylor, Sanchez, Hernandez. He was looking for Aguilar. I'm just saying that we do love ourselves. Or how many of you like to turn around one day, don't call your name and say, hey, hey's for horses. Oh, come on now. But if they call our name, even if there's four Joes, all four Joes turn around. I'm just making a point here. So the Bible says, learn to humble yourself. The root of most relational problems is self-centeredness, selfishness. Nobody wants to budge. Everybody wants it when they want it. Come on. James chapter 4 says that's the reason for all wars, conflict. It says, so Galatians says in the Message, I want to read it to you. It is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. You're called to liberty, the King James says. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. It says, don't use it as liberty for your, or an opportunity for your flesh. But through love, serve one another. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. And the Message adds, that's how freedom grows. So I'm going to get down to the nitty-gritty. One of the best ways to consistently serve others is to be part of a friendship group. And the reason is because you learn to serve in a friendship group. Amen. And leader, if you have forgotten, make sure you assign until people say, you know what? I'll go visit that person. I'll pray for her. Until we start doing it organically, we have to structure. We have to learn to do it. Can I bring the snacks? Amen. When we used to have the Helps Ministry, we had a sister in charge of the snacks, the snack time, Sister Liz. And she can be a witness that sometimes guests would ask, can I bring the snacks? That's what I'm talking about. You're going out in a friendship group, you learn to serve. You learn to call the one that didn't come to group. The one that you know needs a ride. The Bible tells us about this selfless service. And the New Living Translation in Romans 14, 18 says, if you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God and others will approve of you too. Kind of gives you an added bonus. You not only please God, but people like you. They get along with you. And everybody that says, anybody that says, I'm not doing it for anybody, And why do you get all upset if they don't recognize you? He just went right by me. He never stuck out his hat. Everybody, if you're going to come by me, come by my right one. December 13th, I get this one fixed, okay? Then you come to my left. If you see me going like this, I'm not winking at you. I'm trying to see. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about people. And now the lights are bright. Oh, yeah, I'm in the spotlight. Okay. Let me see here. Oop. I got a few minutes. 10 things you must know about people. This applies to everybody. People are insecure. So what do? You give them confidence. People like to feel special. So sincerely compliment them. You don't have to tell an ugly person that they're good looking. But there's something that you can tell them. People look for a better tomorrow. So show them hope. If somebody tells you a sad story, don't tell them about yours. Oh, that's nothing. You had a triple bypass, I had a quintuple bypass. They amputated your toe. He says, they took 2 of mine off. No, show them hope. The specialist told me, remember when you start walking, you got a new foot. It's a different foot. And you know what? He was right. But he told me, you're going to be able to walk. He gave me hope. And so I took him on at his word. Hallelujah. The only one that doesn't like for me to walk without my walker is my wife. She says, be careful. Don't push it. Who do you think you are? People need to be understood, so listen to them. We're talking how to improve your relationships. People lack direction. Navigate for them. If they don't know how to get there, tell them. If they don't know how to solve a problem, says, you know, I went through something similar. People are selfish. Speak to their needs first. People get emotionally low. Encourage them. People want to be associated with success. Help them win. I like New Life Academy because our teachers will find a way to give you a certificate. It's the truth. Amen. Just for showing up. Pew. And this student. And I see that sometimes the supervisor thinking and thinking and thinking. Oh, this student always cleaned their desk. Here you go. There's always something that we can provide. People desire meaningful relationships. So provide community. Don't just go by yourself or with one other person to have yourself some good costillas and eggs. Invite somebody else with to go with you. People see models to follow. So be an example. So I'm going to need your help here, okay? Because I'm going to give you practical ways to improving relationships through Scripture. And the very first one is found in the book of John, chapter 13, verse 34. If I can see it, I'm pretty sure you can see this one better. Read together, everybody. A new love one another. Romans 12:10. Read, everybody, a little bit louder. Look at Romans 15:7. Go. We're not teeny boppers. We're not little children. If you're our friend, you can't be my friend. Only kids do that. It got quiet, like if we had some kids in here. Let me look. No. It says, just the way Christ received you, he says, you receive one another. Romans 15:14. Read. Amen. Get in your one-year Bible. Get into prayer when you read. Ask God to fill you with knowledge and goodness, and then be ready to admonish one another. Galatians 5:13, read with me. For you, brethren, serve one another. Ephesians 4:2-3, read. Isn't that something? Mexicans, we have a statement when I'm up to here. He said, ya no te aguanto. He said, I've had it. But the Bible says you bear with one another in love. Ephesians 4:32, what does it say? Colossians 3:16, everybody. I'm just saying, there's so much we can do to improve our relationships. Look at what 1 Thessalonians 4:18 says. What words? Right now, it's the best time to comfort people because they start getting distressed. Oh, did you know that the Russians sent some jet fighters over the warship? And? That's not the way to answer. He says, you know what that says? He says, we're getting close to Bible prophecy being fulfilled. Jesus is coming soon. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Build each other up. Oh, hallelujah. You know what? You and I have to be compliment machines. Look for compliment or how to compliment people. Now, guys, don't tell a lady how her dress looks. You let her husband do that. If she doesn't have one, it says maybe the one that tells her is looking for one. But you know what I'm talking about. It says, build each other up in the faith. Hebrews 3:12-13. Let's read. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another. Hey, it says another favorite Mexican word, mañana, tomorrow. It says, I'll see you tomorrow, or I'll do it tomorrow. He says, no, you know what? The Bible says, learn to exhort one another. It means strongly encourage while you can call it today. That means right now. You see it happening. He says, remember, you're in right relationship with God. He says, you exhort one another in love. Hebrews 10:24 is similar. And let us consider. Put it up, please. 10:24. There you go. Everybody, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So, all of that's positive. Let me give you some things to avoid. Romans 14:13. Somebody say amen. Make up your minds that you're not going to do anything to cause your brother or sister to stumble. We've got enough stumbling blocks. We don't need somebody else to put another one there. Especially if you can't see. Do you know why the Bible never says wait till they come to you and ask for forgiveness? Because the offended person is blinded. They can't see. So the Bible says, if your brother offends you, go to him. It also says, if you know that your brother is offended with you, go to him. It always says, you be the bigger person. Galatians 5:15, what to avoid. But if you are given, those of you that has got a fight inside of you. Hey, everybody, we know people like that, right? They're ready. Say, what? What'd you say? We live in that. He says, not among us. Not among us. It says, if you're given to fighting, if you've got that in your gut, he says, you got to look out for it more. Galatians 5:26. We've got a good list of practical ways to improve our relationships. So I conclude. John 13:35. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So love is active and is shown by selflessly serving. Can you put that up, please? One's neighbor. By putting the needs of others ahead of our own, and by seeking unity over my own desires. Please stand. So here are some action verbs of what we're supposed to do. And they have to do with one another. Please put the next one up. This is what we saw in all those verses. Love, prefer, receive, admonish, endure, be kind, forgive, exhort, teach, encourage, edify, consider. And what you don't do, don't judge, don't fight, don't cause someone to stumble. Don't boast, don't irritate, don't envy. And what will happen? There's a God in heaven who is looking out at his church. And And he's getting ready to command some blessings, an anointing to come upon your life. Come on now. The emphasis on the anointing wasn't so much today, it's on an inward flow, but an outward flow. It's gonna show. And you're gonna exude that. Just like a strong perfume, a strong aftershave, a strong body lotion. I'm talking about good smell, okay, everybody? It says the emphasis is on what you exude, what comes out of you. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out, so everybody say out. Out of your belly, out of your innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. Can I say it this way? We've already got it in us. God has already given it to you. He's given it to me. But he's saying, don't keep it locked up. Don't become satisfied with, at least I'm not in anybody's business. At least I'm not doing this to, at least I'm not, no, no. The Bible puts it, and it says it this way, be in people's lives for the good. Love them. Build them up. Compliment them. Encourage them. Serve them. He says, come on, he says, when you do this, it brings a unity. At one of my first youth camps, the first one at Heartland, back when I was barely about 17, 16. One of the cars in the caravan broke down, so we had to help them get up, and we didn't make it for the first dinner. Didn't know how it worked, that it was family style, that somebody would go and bring some and everybody, get theirs and pass it down. I didn't know that. So in the morning when we went to breakfast, they had pancakes, scrambled eggs. I don't know if anything else, but there was this big fella. He was a friend of mine. And the guy put about 6 to 7 pancakes on his plate and left the serving dish empty. I didn't know that there was more. I wasn't as saved as he was. So I called him on it. It wasn't nice. Do you know what this guy, he could have, womp, womp. He's about 6 inches taller than me. He went and got some more and gave them to me. And I got angry. What's the matter? Don't you got a fight in you? Yeah, but I just wanted to bring you some pancakes. Aren't we crazy sometimes? He showed a lot more love than I ever did. And so I got angry because he served me. Sometimes people don't know how to take it. Don't let that stop you. Don't let that stop you. I don't know if anybody's ever told you, but I've had some telling, Pastor, I really don't like you. And I always tell them, you know what? You got a problem because I like you pretty good. So what am I saying? The emphasis is on me. Go like this. The emphasis is on me. To bring the unity to God's people and then open those spiritual ears and wait for that command from heaven for eternal life and blessing. Hey, everybody. God wants us to improve our relationships. Because that's how people are going to know there's something happening in those people from New Life. Something good. I wonder if anybody would want to come to this altar and say, Lord, you know what? I'm going to do my part to improve relationships because I want you to command blessings not on, just on me, but I want to be able to command them on somebody else as well. Is anybody here that would like to see that type of unity in the local church? Would you come as our praise team starts leading us in worship and just bring it to Jesus? Open up. Open up and tell him, God, you've spoken to me, Lord. I want to do better at this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you've been blessed enough, command blessings upon somebody else. In Jesus' name, please sing.
Lord, prepare me, be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true.
Oh, yes.
With thanksgiving, I'll be a living testimony.
Prepare me, Jesus.
For you.
I'm here, Lord.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.